Ezra chapter 9. Verse number 1. Now when these things were done,
the princes came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites." They didn't want to be just like one set of people. They wanted to be like a whole bunch of different people. "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands." Let me just say this right here, right out of the gate. You can put this in your pocket for later on. It's not God's will for a saved person to marry a lost person. Amen. And I'll go a little further. I don't believe it's God's will for somebody that's of one faith to marry somebody of another faith. And you can get real close, because you get people even that's in the same faith, but they see things a little bit differently. You got just like one. One's a Democrat on one side and one's a Republican on the other side. There's going to be problems. Yep. Are you listening to me? There's going to be problems. That's what I'm talking about as far as with religion. You may have two Baptists, but if one's real liberal and one is extra conservative, you're going to have some problems. Yep. So they were in this shape. They were marrying the heathen's daughters. Exactly what God said not to do. And Ezra says this, "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished." I'll be honest, when I first was, before I ever read Ezra, the name threw me off. I thought Ezra may have been a woman. And then when I read that Ezra had a beard, I knew that was a man right there. "Ezra the priest. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel." Some good people that were still there. "Because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice." Listen, they had been carried away into captivity because they had sinned against God and taken other gods unto themselves and married those strangers' daughters. And it didn't do what God asked them to do. And so God let the enemy come in and take them into bondage. Now here they are in the bondage, and they're still marrying the heathen's daughters. And it's just beyond him. Do they not see what has got us in the shape that we're in? I mean, sometimes it's good to take a real stark look at the condition we're really in and take a big look around and try to figure out what it is that's happening that's caused us to be put in bondage. Caused us to not have the power of God. Listen, they were not where they should be. They were not where they should be. They should have been in the land of Israel. Amen. They should have been there in Canaan's land. They should have been up at the temple worshiping God. But they were not where they should be. Why? They were in captivity. But Ezra is going to make prayer and confession here. And I want to just go on down in verse number 8 and give you the title, and we'll try to preach. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. A little reviving. That's all Ezra was asking for. Just a little reviving. I tell you, just a little reviving will go a long way. A little reviving can go a long, long way. If you get God's people having a little bit of reviving, there are some things that they'll begin to see, some things that they'll begin to realize. And I think they'll get to the place where they'll come out from among some of these things that they need to come out from among. I mean, it's when God moves in the midst of God's people, are you listening to me, that youngins begin to get ideas in their head suddenly, like a light bulb. I think I'm going to change this about the way I'm living my life. Amen. I think I'm going to start doing this for the Lord. I think I'll start praying a little more. Amen. I'm going to start reading my Bible a little more. If I can get a little reviving, you can get some little ideas going a long way. Amen. Here Ezra is. He's come time at the evening sacrifice. In verse number 5, he said, I rose up from my heaviness. You talk about a man getting heavy. Now, he had everybody that assembled unto him, that everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. So he's got some other people that are heavy with him. I think if we could ever just get a little heavy, we could have a little reviving. Amen. If we could ever get a little heavy, we could have a little revival. Yeah, nobody wants to bear a load anymore. Nobody wants to be pushed or pressed. We don't want to feel that weight upon us. Amen. Our flesh, especially. Listen, our flesh, it doesn't want to have to be pressed or exercised. Amen. It just wants to sit down and just let everything come to them. It's lazy. It's as lazy as can be. But listen, we've got to come under a load. Amen. The Lord talked about us bearing a load, bearing one another's burdens. He that cometh forth weeping, bearing precious seed. I mean, that weeping, that's somebody that's under a load, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Maybe a little rejoicing. Amen. If we could come under a little load. Amen. Listen, we all need to ask God to get things just a little heavy on our life. It'd start bothering us just a little bit. Amen. Sin start bothering us just a little more. Sin start upsetting us just a little more. The world start upsetting us just quite a bit more. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And not be satisfied with your average service. Amen. Not to be just satisfied with a little. Listen, God will give us a little reviving. The Lord, the presence of the Lord to pass by. You people that say, you know what it is, especially that have been around for a while, what it is to see God move on the scene. We need to get heavy for that. Desiring. There Ezra was. He was heavy. And he said, having rent my garment in my mantle. He had got to that place. He is sick and tired. That's a picture of repenting, renting his mantle. He's repenting. He's tearing it up. This ain't no good. What I've got right now ain't no good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about our salvation. I'm talking about the experience, a cold experience. Just a dry time constantly. Amen. No God moving, feeling like bondage is around the corner. That's where they were. They were in bondage. He said, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Oh, that's getting to the place he's ready for business. That's what I was talking about a minute ago. Somebody get to the place, I believe I'll pray some more. I believe I'll just get down here and I'll just get plumb down on the ground. Flat. Plastered to God's earth. Hey, listen, prostrate before God. Amen. Just gave in. Right. Helpless. Amen. And he began to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to cry out unto the Lord and said, oh my God. I believe he begins to pray 419 words. Listen, that sounds like a lot, but that's not a lot. You people that have done school work and college work recently, I mean, you know just a regular page, 419 words, that's about, I mean, if you write it right, no, I mean, don't write it huge, you know. Just regular writing. You can get that on about half a page, probably. That many words. Maybe a page. 419, that's not a whole lot. I mean, you could read it. You could pray it in just a minute or two. That's what I'm saying. Amen. But he was sincere. He was ready. Right. And he said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. He was so ashamed of the condition that him and the people were in. He didn't even want to look up and face God. We are to be ashamed sometimes. To even come to him. To even lift up our faces to him. We need to, like some, hide our face from the Lord. I'm not worthy to look at him. I'm not worthy to lift up my head unto a holy, righteous God that he is, of the loving Savior that died for my sin, that suffered so. I ain't worthy to lift my head up to him. Get myself down before the Lord. A little shame might bring a little reviving. Amen. A little shame might bring a little reviving. He began to confess, our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. Look how he's talking. Most people, when they go to talking about their sin, I know, I mean, we've all sinned. We do a few things here and there. Yeah, confess.
Right.
Confess, right.
Amen.
Amen. God have mercy on me. Every day. Lord, help me every day. God help. It seemed like there's something that I have to wrestle with. I have to confess. I have to repent. Sin, it just seems like at times wants to overwhelm us, does overwhelm us. We give in. Just go ahead and confess it. Sometimes we just give in to it. They ain't no, are you listening? They ain't no, I've done my best. No. No, we ain't done our best. Amen. If we had done our best, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. A little bit of confession might bring a little reviving. Since the days of our fathers have we been in this great... He said, there ain't been a day that we did good. From the day they got brought out, it was a moaning and a complaining and talking against the man of God and talking against God, gonna let us thirst and starve. Building golden calves. Missing all that was in Egypt. We ain't had a day since God brought us out that we've done everything good. Since the days of our fathers, have we been in a great trespass unto this day? He has confessed it. Nobody else wants to say it. We've been in a great trespass against God. Boy, people didn't want to hear that. People want to hear, they're all right for the most part. Doing pretty good. No, we ain't. No, we ain't. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests. I mean from the top to the bottom. Spiritual and political. Been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face. That is, it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed. When you get it in that context, amen, it makes you thank God for God's grace. Now, after all of that, just for a little space, God's opened the window, amen. God's given us some grace. Hey, if God opens a little window and gives you space to find His grace, that's a good time to move toward the Lord. That's the time to do it. Don't be fooling around with God. His grace is there. Amen. Grace for every need. Grace for sin. Amen. Grace for hardship. Grace for troubles. Grace for whatever it is. God's saying, come on. Come to me. My children. Boy, God's merciful. God is so merciful to us. Bless His name. A little grace can bring a little reviving. Amen. I don't know how much longer, how much more I can do this evening. I love this picture here. Verse 8, there's a lot of great pictures in it. Look at it with me. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. God's give us a remnant to get out of this bondage, go back to the land, to be His people. Look what He said, and to give us a nail in His holy place. What that is, when He's saying it, to give us a nail, it's like an expression that shows security. See, a nail is something permanent. He said, God's give us a nail in His holy place. God's hung us a nail in the holy place. And for as long as it, listen, it's there. That nail, that's my nail. I want to tell you something. I don't know much about the Bible, but the only nails I really know about is the nails that went in our Lord's precious hands and feet. I mean, I know there were some nails in the tabernacle, but of the most important nails ever in the Word of God was the nails put in my Lord's hands and feet. Hey, as long as He lives, God, give us a nail. Hey, are you listening to me? Eternal life and security today. What a picture. Remember the nail God put there for you. Amen. Remember that. That our God may lighten our eyes. In other words, open them. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. Even though we were bondmen, God didn't forsake us. But hath extended mercy. That's that grace He was just talking about. Hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, and give us a reviving to set up the house of our God. That's what this whole thing was all about. Those big kings of Babylon, and then now the Medes and the Persians, those powerful kings that worshipped all their strange gods, saw this remnant of a people that the true God of heaven had showed mercy to them and was letting them go back to build the city walls and the temple of God. They were going to see that. Isn't that amazing? What a testimony. A testimony. He did it in the sight of the kings of Persia. God did that in their sight. Listen, those men were not ignorant men. I mean, you look at the kings of Babylon. First was Nebuchadnezzar. Then after that, his grandson, Belshazzar. Yep. Both of them recognized a God among some of them Hebrews.
Yep.
Namely, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They recognized that there was a God like no other God. They recognized that. Maybe didn't understand it, but they knew they didn't have any gods that powerful. No. To bring three of them out of a fire, and not even the smell of smoke came out on their clothes. To bring one of them out of a hungry lion's den after a full night. Oh, Daniel, live forever is thy God, whom thou continuously serve, able to deliver. Don't worry about me. Amen. Everything's all right down here in the lion's den. What a God. He did that. He did that in their sight. God did that in their sight. And now he's doing this in the sight of this king. That's what he said. Verse 9. In the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem, to even fortify our walls from the enemies. Here they are captured by the enemy, and God's let them know they're going back to build a wall to keep the enemies out. And they're letting them do it. My mercy, my. It's amazing what God would do in a little reviving. Amazing, wonderful things that God does for us. I'm done this evening. Bless your heart. There's so